Enoch took the scroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said he'll never forsake is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Footprints of Jesus that make the path we glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Footprints of Jesus that makes the path we glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus, wherever they go. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where the footpath's leading, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by the lowest fountain, helping the weak. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the meek and lowly, serving the Lord. Though they, Lord of the pathway keeping, we follow thee through the gloom of the place of weeping, Gethsemane. If they weep to the sorrows bearing, we go again up the slope of the hillside, leaving our cross of pain. By and by, through the shining portals, turning our feet, we will walk where the glory immortals hang golden street. Then at last, when our heart we see us, our journey dawn, we will rest where the steps of Jesus and at the throne. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Where could I go?
Seeking a refuge for my soul, seeking a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, seeking a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb.
He sees me as pretty and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washes me this I love. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. And the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me, this I know. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me, this I know. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than and gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond. Nothing I desire compares with you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing that I desire compares with you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Of course, that scripture, blessed is he that has part in the first resurrection.
Revelations 26, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Heavenly Father, we just read your word, and just pray to just give us the insight in what it says here, Lord. Help us to expound on your word. Do with us as you see fit, Lord. We just want to thank you for this another day of life, and the many things you've done for us in the past. You've opened up your word to us, Lord. We just pray you'll help us expound on it, and someday when somebody might want to listen, that they'll be able to see what has been laying out there throughout the ages, Lord. We're just trying to do our level best to try to read that blueprint that you made back there before the foundation of the world, Lord. And here we're coming to the closing days of time, and people are walking in darkness. They're walking ignorant. They're walking in easily deceived, Lord. And we just want to bring out the truth of your word, Lord. We just pray you'll help us get that increase in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed is he, yeah, that part in the first resurrection. There's, just to kind of keep it simple, like Brother Jackson said when he preached the message, right to dividing the word of truth, that there's three parts to the first resurrection. And I'll just keep it like that. But each part has an A and a B. He never elaborated on that. He just saw the three parts of the first resurrection, but we're down here to fine-tune things. We're not taking anything away from what he said. We're just adding, like more or less fine-tuning it, because when you look in the eyes of reality, the face of reality, there's actually 6 parts, but to keep it simple, there's an A and a B to each part. There's 3 parts, but you got to see the A and the B. And the first part of the first resurrection was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that
first fruit.
He was the first fruit of the resurrection family.
Mm-hmm.
Of the first part of the, what you would call, I guess, just to make it simple, he was the first part of the first resurrection family, and he's blessed and holy is he that has part in that. Now he's blessed forever. He's going to be blessed throughout eternity. And Jesus Christ was not some superhuman being. He was like you and I. We got to make choices. We might need to say he's got to make decisions. He made the right decision, and then he fell into that category. Blessed and holy is he at that part in the first resurrection. And then all these Old Testament saints like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, once Jesus was resurrected, they still stayed in the ground until he had taken that blood sacrifice to his heavenly Father, because you can see it in the morning when he met these women. He said, don't touch me, because I've not yet been with the Father. And then when later on that evening he told the disciples to touch him, because now he's been with the Father. Now all these Old Testament saints came out of the ground. And there's not one, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Adam and all these Old Testament saints, they're not in the ground anymore. You won't find their bones over there where they had the patriarchs the grave site, you won't find Joseph's bone in the ground nowhere. Nowhere are any one of these Old Testament saints in the ground. Blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection, on him the second that had no power. And then that space, that's the B part. That's mm-hmm. the B part of that first resurrection was these Old Testament saints. And now that's the only resurrection so far that the rest are still all in the ground. And then the next part, you would say part two, and part two of the first resurrection would be actually AB. That will be those two witnesses in Israel that's going to be killed, and then they're going to be resurrected. That's the A part of the second part of the resurrection. And then these all these New Testament saints, they are in the ground right now, but they will be resurrected when those when that'll be part B of the second part of the resurrection. These New Testament saints, like Peter, Paul, James, and John, and all these patriarchs, all these disciples, all these Christians, they'll be resurrected. Those that qualify to be part of that first resurrection, those that qualify to be in the bride chamber, you know, there's a lot of people that's going to stay in the ground because they have not been qualified to be in the bride material. So they'll stay in the ground, and then we that are alive, we shall not have to be resurrected, we shall be changed. So there is part A, part B of the first, then there's on the second part, there's these Old Testament, there's these New Testament saying that will qualify to be in the bride, and then like I say, we are going to be changed. We won't be mm-hmm. resurrected.
And we're just going to meet them in the air. Yeah, the bride saints that have been passed on since 2,000 years will be resurrected. And those bride saints that are still alive, they will meet them in the air. They will be changed.
And then there's another element of people that not everybody that died and throughout the ages that are going to heaven, not all of them will be resurrected. By now, it's only those that are bright saints, and will be changed, and then those two prophets. They're going to be, they're part two of that first part of the first resurrection. And to kind of make it simple, we call it, Jesus was this, we'll put them six parts for the sake of the explaining it better. Jesus was the first part, like I say, there's actually six parts, but then There's part number two. That's these Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's part two. And then part three is that those two prophets, those two witnesses in Israel that's going to be killed. They're going to be resurrected, and they go up to heaven. And then part four would be the, like I say, the New Testament saints that qualify to be bride material because they have to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and after that, there's still a lot of people in the ground that go to heaven, but they don't qualify to be in the bride material. And then, like I say, we get changed, and then that fulfills part one, part two, part three, part four. Now we're going into part five, and to go into part five, we have to go to the scripture. You have to go to Matthew, I think it's Matthew 24,
mm-hmm.
To find out where these other two elements come up. Verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring this out, and because there's so much happening. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. I just want to bring everything out the way it is. Everybody's answering now that Charlie Kirk had been assassinated, and he's a martyr. And where does he go? Well, where's he gonna be in this six parts of the first resurrection? Well, he's gonna end up on the Sea of Galilee, but just to give you the scriptures for it. Well, I'll read it. When the Son of Man shall come and his glory, as Jesus coming back and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Sheep and goats now. That's in these 45 days that it talks about. End of the 6,000 years for Satan, and Jesus comes ties up Satan, and then there's 30 days for the day of the Lord, and then there's 45 days where this will happen here, where the resurrection of all these saints.
First there'll be the resurrection of the ones that are on the Sea of Glass, the saints that have died in the week of Daniel, because those will be resurrected. The last shall be first. And they will be resurrected, and then the great multitude will be resurrected.
And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. That's the people, that the mortals that are living right now. He comes down, and 3 years from now, and the season of the 45 days, and what he does then, he begins to separate the sheep and the goats. Out there, there's a lot of goats out there. There's a lot of anti- Charlie Kirk, because he's one of the first martyrs, and then there's a lot of pro Charlie Kirk. They'll be in that sheep category, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, come ye blessed. See, you want that blessing. Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's these people that are pro Charlie Kirk. We bring it down in today's language so it's easily to be understood, because it's only 3 years from now, according to the midnight cry, according to the thing that we've been saying here all along, because it's very important that you know the day and the hour that we're now living in, because there's only about 3 more years, and that fulfilled Satan's 6,000 years of reign. And then Then in comes the day of the Lord, which is 30 days. And then once the day of the Lord is done, in comes those where he separates the sheep and the goats. And then, for I was hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me. See, it's just the characteristics of these people. They were just normal, peace-loving people. And that's what's going on right now, because there's an element of people here that is going to go right over into that judgment, into that resurrection, into that separating of the sheep and the goat. And they're all being determined right now which side they're going to be on. And he just simply say to the ones on the right, to the sheep people, come in and inherit the king. Blessed are ye of the Lord. And then the other ones, They're going to go into that lake of fire. It's just that simple. These Trump haters, these Charlie Kirk haters, these people. It's just so simple. But we got to bring it down in today's hour, because you and I, we know the hour we're now living in. And then what he does, he resurrects. As soon as these 45 days start, first thing he does, he resurrects these people that are on that Sea of Glass, that have died in this terrible time that's coming up, this tremendous bloodshed, this George Washington's vision, George Washington's third peril. It's going to be executed here just up the road. In fact, it has already started. You can see the momentum of that hatred building up and building up. Eventually there's going to be a bloodbath. Eventually they're going to go out and kill a lot of these Charlie Kirk, a lot of these Trump supporters. They're going to kill him, because there's going to be a civil war coming in the state, and then there's coming that tribulation. It's going to be a worldwide thing where they're going to be put on that Sea of Glass. They have to die. They have to give their life to be immortal, because then the eternal hits, you're going to have to be immortal. But to see the sheep, they will not be immortal. They'll just be mortal. And then that scripture will be activated. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. That scripture has not been activated yet, except for one person. And one person on his shofar is that Charlie Kirk. He's going to end up on that sea of glass. And then when that judgment comes, I'm getting ahead of myself, all these people that they're going to be martyred, standing for Trump, standing for what's right. See, you're not standing for Trump as a person. You're standing for law and order. You're standing for decency. You're standing for the Lord, because standing for Charlie Kirk, you're really not standing for Charlie Kirk.
It's really between good and evil. Yes. Standing for good versus standing for evil.
But with the sheep there, the sheep are just, where did we see you? They don't even know what's going on out there. But see, you and I, we can put it out because we know where we are in time, and we're trying to just express what is really going on, because you and I, we live in the Spirit. We're walking with the Lord. We know everything that happened since Brother Jackson left the scene. We know the episode with Bud and with Boyd and all these things. We've been in touch with God all along, and now we're in touch. What's happening here? George, with Charlie Kirk getting assassinated, and he's going to end up on that sea of glass. And then once that resurrection happens, that what's going to happen, the Lord's going to resurrect these people that are on that sea of glass, and that's what you would call part number 5 of the first resurrection. They're blessed. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. Now, Charlie Kirk is blessed because he'll be part of that first resurrection, and then he'll go into that eternal kingdom, because and all these people that's going to be martyred from here on out, they're going to end up on that sea of glass, and there's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a great tribulation. It's going to be George Washington's third peril. Like you said, there's more bloodshed than the other two perils combined. As you can see, it's just right up the road. There's no more returning back. These people, they cannot be rejuvenated. They cannot be changed, because that's what they have determined to do and to be. That's who they are, and that's who they'll end up being. And they're going to go, when that separation of the sheep and the goat comes, they will go direct into that lake of fire. And if that guy that killed Charlie Kirk, well, he gets the electric chair, and he's going to go straight to hell. And just that simple, because he's part of that nucleus of people that are just no good. They're beyond repair. And it's just that simple.
And they're just going to play a part in the second death. And yeah. They're going to, after the millennium, be thrown into the lake of fire.
And his bones, they'll stay in the ground till after the 1,000 years run. We're just trying to bring everything down and to this language, so it's easily understood. And see, God made this blueprint back before the foundation of the world, and all we're doing, we're just reading the blueprint. We gave us the midnight cry because the time was for him to expose that midnight cry, so we know exactly the day and hour we're living in. He just told his disciples back in the day, it's not for you to know the day and hour that I'm going to restore Israel again. But he gave it to you and me because he knows you and I, we're living in that time frame, and all we're doing, we're putting it out there, and we're more led. Decoding it, more or less making it plain and simple for today's hour. Now, like I say, now Charlie Kirk and all these people on the sea of glass, they get resurrected. They're part number 5 or part number A of 3. You know, just to kind of, so you don't get mixed up. Now, these sea of glass people, they're going to be standing there. They're resurrected, but now he's going to judge these goats. And all they got to do is you got to stand there, all these people that have been martyred throughout the tribulation, and they're going to be judging these mortals, these goat people. I was hungry and fed me. You never did support me. You killed me. All these things, they will just be standing there. There won't be much have to be said.
No.
Everything is being determined right now. People are determining right now which side they're on. Just that simple. And then once that happens, once that resurrection of the sea of the glass people, see, like we were saying yesterday, at the beginning of of the tribulation, that sea glass was empty. And once you enter the tribulation, that sea glass was full of people. And then they get, like I say, they get resurrected first. And then once he's done with that separating of the sheep and the goats, then what he does, he goes and he resurrects that great multitude that's been in the ground, that's been laying in the ground since Jesus died in Calvary.
2,000 years.
For 2,000 years, they've been laying in the ground. Now they all these New Testament people that died in the Lord, but they were not qualified to be bride material, so they stay in the ground until that separation of the sheep and the goat. Like I say, he resurrects the
sea of glass.
The sea of glass people. Then he goes and he resurrects these
great multitude,
and then that completes the first part of the first resurrection, and anybody that stays in the ground, he's not going to be blessed. He has to go to that white throne judgment, and then what's happening then? Then his sentence is meted out, how many years, how much pressure, how long he's going to be in that lake of fire to do what? To destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And once that body and that soul is completely destroyed, then that spirit goes back to God who gave it. It's a very simple program that God made. God didn't just throw something out there without a plan, without a blueprint. He made a blueprint, and when he was done making that blueprint, he just sat and he just sat to himself, because he was counseling with himself. It was he and he alone, that great eternal spirit, that made that blueprint. And then when he was done with it, he said he's going to make sure that that blueprint that he made is going to be executed right to the T. And that's why you have these wars and these rumors of war. Satan, he's trying to stop God from fulfilling his blueprint. That's all. But at the end of the day, it's going to happen exactly the way we say here. See, we're not worried about this great tribulation, all this butchering and all this slaughtering going on, because we're of a different category. If we do it to the end, we'll go into that rapture, because there's people that's going to be resurrected, and there's people that qualify to be in the bride, and then we get changed in a moment and a twinkle of an eye, and then we get out of this hell that's coming. We escape this tribulation. We escape all this butchering. We escape George Washington III World War, where he said there's going to be more bloodshed than the other two combined. Just before all that happens, and before the momentum is picking up, before it takes off, God comes down, and then that's where that rapture comes in. Mm-hmm. And we don't go to tribulation.
And it's where we get the name from the great multitude. You can read it in Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's the great multitude that we're speaking of. Those are the saints that died within the grace age, that did not have time to accumulate themselves anything. They were martyred for their faith, so they fell into the lot of the great multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the name comes from Revelation 7, the great multitude. They're going to be from every tongue and every nations around the world, Christians that have died in the Lord since the last 2,000 years.
We went to that, and we're just trying to explain to people what about these six parts, or like I say, three parts with an A and a B, just that simple. And then they get resurrected, like you were saying, the great multitude. They get resurrected at the last, part 8,
mm-hmm.
or part 6. And then the reason he's cast to resurrect those of the sea of glass, he's resurrecting them so that he can judge these people that were harassing them, that were killing him, that were butchering him, that they're anti-Trump, they're anti-God, they're anti-law, they're anti- anything that these, like you were saying, it's the battle between good and evil. And all he's doing, he's just separating. It's just a simple process. He's just separating the goats from the sheep, because they cannot go into that millennial reign. The sheep, they go into that millennial reign as mortals, see, not immortal. But these people on that sea of glass, that's why it says blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. Because these people, by that time, they'll know they want to be immortal throughout eternity, throughout the eternal age. Because it's very high calling to be immortal. It's something about being immortal. You don't need a sun. You don't need a planet because you're immortal. You can just... But mortals, they need the sun, they need the moon and the stars, and they need to eat, and they need the element of this planet to survive. It's just like, but like I'm saying, the blessed is holy is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. That happens. That's already beginning. And you're going to see a lot of people get butchered and slaughtered because it's beyond, it's not going into reverse anymore. It's going right to the finish line at the end of 3 years. And end of that day of the Lord, then he resurrects them, and there they stand, resurrected, just ready to be judging those mortals, those goat people, the goats. God does things very thoroughly. He's got this all blueprinted out in his word. And then, like mm-hmm. I say, you want that blessing above anything else. We're talking about blessed is he. Blessed is he that has part of that first resurrection. On him, the second death has no power. You want to be part of that first resurrection. What this butcher, this slaughter coming up here, it shouldn't scare people. It shouldn't worry, because what they're doing, they're just going over the other side and they're going to a better place. But the people that do the killing, the anti-Trumpers, the anti-law and order, the anti-Charlie Kirk, they got a lot to worry about, because they're going into that lake of fire, and then that, like I say, and that lake of fire, they're being destroyed. They have no part in eternity.
And they would really not fit into eternity, because if your life has been evil, you have no part in God.
In the economy of God. Mm-hmm.
Even if like people, they want to bring everybody to heaven, but they would be so out of place mm-hmm. in heaven, because all their thoughts and their ways have been towards evil. So there is only one place for them, is to go into destruction, to be destroyed in the lake of fire.
I always say that. I know it's a big saying, and there's only one worse place than hell. If you could be in heaven with your unregenerated position, with your unregenerated person, without being born again, without wanting to be around where the Christians are, it's a separated thing. But let's say, supposing you could get into heaven with your unregenerated place, because once you're in heaven, you're there throughout eternity. Imagine being in heaven and having to be there throughout eternity in your fallen state. So it's a blessing that you go to hell and there be destroyed, because hell is not eternal. Hell is just until your soul and your body has been destroyed, and then that spirit goes back to God again. It's a beautiful picture. That's a beautiful pattern that God is. And once that separation of the sheep and the goats happens, then God's pretty much got his family, except going through the 1,000 years of the reign of Christ. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, then and then only God will have his perfect family.
Mm-hmm.
Until that time, it's just we're all being tested.
Uh-huh. And you know, the Bible is so beautiful. When you will go to Leviticus 23, it talks about the first fruit, that they took a sheaf from their crop mm-hmm. and they brought it to the priest, and he would wave it as an offering before the Lord. And that first fruit represented the Lord Jesus Christ when he resurrected, and he's the first fruit of the harvest. You know and then you have the Gentile harvest, and you have the Jewish harvest, and those are the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, and that's all part of that first resurrection
mm-hmm.
that happens. That's why it says, blessed is he, blessed and holy is he that has part of that first resurrection. That is that first resurrection, that first crop and the second crop, the Gentiles and the Jews, and then the second resurrection that it speaks of is the resurrection of death. where those all the wicked of the ages from the last 6,000 years will be resurrected, and they will stand before the great white throne judgment. And that's why it says we will judge angels, and it'll come to that point where those wicked will be judged according to their deeds, what they have done. And then the hell that is in the center of the earth, and it's all its subject, will then be thrown into the lake of fire where they're going to be destroyed.
Amen to that. And, see, we're going to be there judging the people that we come out of it. We're judging these other right, the people that did us bad. If they don't repent, like I keep saying over and over, if they do not repent for their evil deeds, they're going to have to be resurrected after that, and that great white throne judgment after the millennium, and then we're going to have to judge them. And like I say, the people that did me bad, like that guy up there in Calvary that just flat out went and lied. I went in to look for a house. There was a house for sale. I went in with him to look at that house, and here, lo and behold, he just tells people all around him that I went into that man's house, looked at the house, and told that man to get out. I'm taking his house. I'm taking over, like these people do in the city. They just go into a man's house, these immigrants, and just take ownership of that house. He was putting me in that category. Flat out lie. See, that's not a very good future for a guy like that, because it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you and lie about you. Then greatest reward in heaven. See, you and I, we're the most blessed two people that ever walked on the planet Earth. And I wondered the other day, how come we're so blessed? Simply because we it says, blessed is he. He told John the Baptist, sent them to John the Baptist, tell him, blessed is he that is not offended at me. We're not offended at Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of. We're not ashamed of the reproach of Christ. And when we embrace it with the past, because then there is a blessing. We're not ashamed to be bound. We're not ashamed to be all that stuff, because we want that blessing above anything else. You want that blessing. And throughout the Bible, there's people that are being blessed. Blessed is he that is not ashamed of me. Blessed is he, are ye when ye shall men shall revile and see all manner of evil again. Blessed is he that is part of the first resurrection. You want these blessings throughout the Bible that are ours throughout the Bible. Before anything, you want these blessings. And then the other side, if you don't get the blessing, you get the curse. And that's just that simple. For you and I, it's so simple. It's such a beautiful picture. The way the Lord is orchestrating that whole thing. And he sent Jesus, and blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he. You want that blessing above anything else. When I saw what that means, when John the Baptist was sent to Jesus, go tell him if he's the one, or should we wait for another? And he sent his disciples back and tell John, blessed is he that is not offended at me. John, you're in that prison because of me. And blessed are you if you're not offended, if you don't start griping about it. Just as blessed is he that if you're not offended at me, like I say, because you're in there because of me. We're going through what we're going through because of standing for truth. Mm-hmm. Because we're standing for righteousness. We're standing for God in us. That's why I'm finally, I feel like I'm a camaraderie with that Charlie Kirk. He did what was right. He's going to be in the eternal age, and we're going to have a camaraderie going, because he's part of that. Blessed is he that is part of the first resurrection. And he stood up for what's right. He stood up for justice. He stood up for truth. He stood up for the word of God. He stood up for Jesus. And that's all we're doing. We're just standing up for what's right and decent and moral. We've seen the corruption, the other right thing, and we couldn't support it anymore to ease our conscience. Otherwise, we'd have to have a guilty conscience. Otherwise, we would have been partaking of their evil deeds, and we couldn't do that. So we jumped off that ship, and then we saw the corruption that's going on at Faith Assembly, and the lies and the stuff that they're trying to bring in. They're not, and we couldn't be part of that. So we just separate ourselves from that. And that's, like I say, that's why you and I are so blessed. Mm-hmm. We're blessed beyond measure. And that's why, because we're taking these blessings. Blessed is he that is not offended. Blessed are ye when men shall
hate you, and say all manner of evil against you, and lie about you. We're falling into that blessed category.
Yeah, because there is no blessing in fellowshipping with people that have a different view.
Mm-hmm.
And because your soul and your spirit is being vexed
mm-hmm.
all the time. So how can you be blessed? You mm-hmm. can't be blessed in that in an environment because it vexes your soul and spirit. It's when you withdraw and stand up for the truth and for what is right. That's when you receive that blessing. And you might be ridiculed in it and a reproach on you, but you know, in that is a blessing because you have that peace with God.
Like that girl that invites you every time she gets a chance. She invites you to go to Winnipeg with her. She invites you to go to her powwow or her, where he had this woman's Bible study, and then she invites you to go out to dig out that tree everywhere. But if you would go, you're not on the same page mm-hmm. spiritually. It wouldn't be a very blessed time. It would be vexing your soul and spirit because you're not on the same page spiritually. Now, if she was on the same page spiritually, because we gave her the website, we gave her the Brother Brent's life story, but she shows no interest. So we cannot fellowship even with your aunt down there. I bet to this day he hasn't listened to the one word that we're saying, and she might listen to him just to get us off her back because we told her, we invited her, we told her where it's at. And then that guy that calls me from over from Riding Mountain and keeps calling me, well, he's not on the same page with us. So they're not, it's not a blessed thing to be hanging out with them because what we have nothing in common spiritually mm-hmm. speaking. That's what I'm trying to say. And then see, we have nothing to worry about because it's all taken care of. The only thing that we have to worry about is ourselves. So that keep ourselves away from all that stuff and to make sure that we can do it to the end. That's all. It's not that hard. I know the Lord dealing with that on a day-to-day basis to flush out all that rebellion that's in us. Because we come into this world with a rebellious spirit, with a rebellious nature. And God has to work over that to get that thing completely flushed out of our system so that we will be standing with the righteous ones, with the godly people on the other side. This life here is really nothing because our kingdom is not of this world. We have no interest in the things of this world. The only interest we have to see to it, do everything that we possibly can to make sure that we go into that life eternal, that we are part of those, blessed is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's what we want above anything else. And there are things in the Bible that'll pull us through, that'll show us how to live and how to conduct ourselves and how to end up on that, be part of that first resurrection. It's just that simple. It's not that complicated. But the natural man, like the flesh, you know, that's why you got to mortify the flesh. That's why you got to crucify the flesh on a daily basis because he doesn't want you to win that cause. The devil doesn't want you and that eternal glory because we're getting what he forfeited, what he lost, and he doesn't want nobody to win that. He doesn't want nobody to be part of that because he's jealous and all that stuff and his whole ambition, his whole aim with all that deception that's going on out there, with all that hatred, he's doing that because he's jealous that the people, he does not want nobody and that eternal abode. He wants everybody in hell. He wants everybody destroyed. That's why we have to fight on a daily basis. That's why we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, he goes around seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's on the rampage for. That's why all his evil is out there. And we're just trying to hold the fort. We're just trying to keep our head above the water because we want to go into that eternal kingdom. That's all what we're doing. We just want to be faithful and we want to endure to the end. That's basically the bottom line, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be part of that first resurrection because we want that blessing. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, on him the second that had no power. That's what we're about. We got no other ambition in life. Mm-hmm. That's all we want. We don't want to make a name for ourselves because it's a threat to make a name for yourself because you're going to end up on the wrong side of the street when that separation comes. And you're going to have to be resurrected at the end of the millennium and go into that lake of fire where everything is purged. Everything is destroyed. Like for you and I, it's so simple. You want
to
pray?
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We're just trying to help people to see the picture that you've allowed us to see, Lord. And we know that time is filled with swift transitions. We see things taking place so rapidly, Lord, right before us, Lord. And we just want to be ready for that day. So we just pray that you'll help people open up their understandings and their hearts so they can learn and be at a place where you can bid them to enter into life eternal. We just give you thanks for this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.